Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and good to be in the studio today. I want to remind everybody that's going through the Legacy Reading Plan that right now we're starting with Romans in November, and we are going to deal during the month with all the New Testament epistles. So November is a very exciting month. You want to get into the book of Romans, one of the great pieces of literature in general, but from the perspective of a Christian, this is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. And you'll see in Romans chapter 1 where Paul talks about the light of creation and demonstrates that all people everywhere have the light of creation. And then in Romans chapter 2, he talks about the light of conscience, the fact that the knowledge of God is emblazoned upon the tablet of our heart. So on the one hand, in Romans chapter 1, we have an outer light. On the other hand, in Romans chapter 2, we have an inner light. And if we respond to both the light from without and the light from within, we are assured by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 that we will receive the light of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul can say later on in the book of Acts, he can say, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. And he determined the exact times and places where men should live. And he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And I'll tell you, I am oftentimes comforted by those words from the Apostle Paul, because this past weekend I was in Asia. I was in Korea and Taiwan and mainland China. And there I saw the teeming masses, oftentimes beguiled by ancestral worship or folk religions. And I stood last weekend in Shanghai, and I watched the faces pass by. And as I did, I wondered, do they know the Lord? And how can they come to know Christ? And again, comforted by the knowledge that they have the light of creation, and God has placed within them the light of conscience. And if they love light as opposed to darkness, God will give them the light of Christ. Now, God can do that supernaturally. He doesn't need human agency. But in God's economy, he has determined that we are to be the agents, in a normative fashion, of salvation. In other words, we have the privilege of having the Holy Spirit move through us in the process of communicating the grace and peace and love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. Now the question is, are we ready to seize the opportunity, or are we consumed by apathy? We stand in Western Christianity on the precipice of a great divide. Are we going to continue conforming ourselves to the culture, or are we going to conform ourselves to Christ, take up his cross, and daily follow him? If we are, we can turn things around in Western civilization. We can go back to the basics that made Western civilization great, because it was built on the DNA of Western Christianity, If not, we may well watch a shift of power. And I'm not talking about power in terms of military power, although that's possible as well. We're seeing an economic resurgence in the Pacific Rim nations that's unprecedented. But we're also seeing a resurgence of spirituality, authentic New Testament Christianity growing at such a rate that, quite frankly, the communist Chinese government doesn't know what to do with it. If you have 1,000 Christians, you can imprison and persecute them. If you have 10,000 Christians, you can do the same. Perhaps you can do the same if you have 100,000 Christians. But when it comes to numbers like 100 million, perhaps now you have a force so great that it can turn an empire upside down, very much like what happened in the first century. So we see a balance of powers that is shifting and changing in a very dynamic fashion before our eyes. And the question is, in the West, are we going to go back to the cross, or are we going to be consumed by the culture? And all of that leads me, before we go to our questions, to quickly say this. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip committed Christians to go back to authentic New Testament Christianity, to take up their cross, follow Christ, to become ambassadors for Christ, as opposed to what I often quip about, the fact that most of us have become secret agents, unwilling or unable to communicate the gospel. We've never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. And so secularism and hedonism and humanism is on the march, and Christianity is on the decline. We can change things if we will get back to basics. Again, the mission, the purpose of the Christian Research Institute, we want to equip literally hundreds of millions of people to think Christianly and therefore not be conformed to the culture, but rather transforming agents within the culture. Well, a lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. First up, Joyce, listening in Albany, New York on WNRB TV. Hi, Joyce.
Oh, hi, how are you? Actually, I'm in Charlottesville, New York. I'm about an hour from Albany. And thank you so much for taking my question.
You're welcome.
My question is, in Revelation 21:8, the Bible gives characteristics of, I guess, they would have to be unbelievers, that are not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. And the first one is, in some versions, it's fearful, but I think in the King James it might be cowardly. And I just wondered, who are those people?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in context, again, in Revelation 21, you have a vision that Paul is experiencing. And he hears a voice say to him, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I'll give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And it's interesting that he starts out with the cowardly. The cowardly in the book of Revelation are contrasted to the faithful, those who are faithful unto death. And remember, we have within Revelation a great apocalypse in which the seven churches of Asia are in the midst of a Caesar cult. And because they're in the midst of the Caesar cult, they are demanded to say, "Caesar is Lord." Christians are saying, in contrast to that, no, Christ is Lord. But when they say Christ is Lord, as opposed to Caesar is Lord, they face the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of 1,000 deaths, and the cowardly turn back from the path of the cross, and instead they embrace the culture. So the cowardly are the fearful. And rather than being faithful, they become faithless and turn away from the cross.
Okay, but those aren't, because you can't lose your salvation, so those can't be, are not believers who lost it, right?
Well, no, I don't think a believer can lose their salvation, but there are a lot of people, and particularly people depicted in the book of Revelation, who have a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. They say they believe, but when push comes to shove, they are faced with the sword, then suddenly they say, I was just kidding when I said I believed in Jesus Christ. And those who are faithful, they say, I am faithful even unto death. And that's why the true Christians went to martyrs' deaths in all kinds of contexts within the Roman Empire. They were lit ablaze after being dipped in tar. They were torn apart by wild animals in the hippodromes. They faced every kind of vilification and terror, and they did it with joy because they had seen the resurrected Christ, or knew of the resurrection, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ had become a reality to them, and therefore they lived life with an eternal perspective rather than with a temporary perspective.
So say you have somebody who was a strong, a believer in Jesus, and they've received him as Savior, and say they're in one of those awful, you know, those foreign countries over there where you've got these terrible dictatorship type of governments, and somebody happens to be holding a gun to their head, and then they say, well, you better renounce Jesus right now, I'm going to kill you. And the person, just out of fear, renounces him to the guy to save his life, but in his heart he really didn't. Does that mean that person wasn't really saved?
Not necessarily, because all of us have been unfaithful and unfruitful in our lives at various times in our lives. And there are those who have faced those exigencies with fear rather than faith.
Right.
But the true believer always goes back and says, Lord, forgive me for my faithfulness, for my faithlessness, and make me faithful. And the Lord, the sovereign a creator of the universe, but also the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, does see our human frailty and does forgive us. But let me say this. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to prevail in the most difficult of circumstances. And I have seen that. I was mentioning at the opening of the broadcast, being in China this weekend. And in China, I have had the privilege of being introduced to all kinds of people in the persecuted church, people who had been imprisoned for their faith, for reading unauthorized materials in unauthorized places, for preaching the gospel, and these kinds of things. And they have borne the indignity of the culture as it imprisons and vilifies them with joy, just like first century Christians. So the point is, the mark of a faithful Christian is that he doesn't live for prosperity or popularity or political correctness, but rather takes up his cross or her cross and daily follows Jesus Christ.
Right. But like Peter, for example, Peter denied Jesus three times. I believe that was out of fear. But then, of course, you know, the Lord prayed for him, and then he, you know, I mean, he was still saved, though, is my point.
Yeah, and to wit, my point, based on your point. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Peter denied the Lord with vile oaths, and yet the Lord in the end said, feed my sheep. And so, yeah, Peter was restored from faithlessness to faithfulness and became an example of the grace of the living God in our lives.
I see. So that fearful in that revelation doesn't mean somebody, for example, that has like panic attacks or superstitions or something.
No. God knows our frailty. Now, as Christians, we don't embrace superstition. In other words, as those who learn to think Christianly or biblically, we jettison superstition. and we jettison this world and we are conformed to Christ. But remember, that is always a process. Justification is an act. We are justified by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a process. We're going through that process. And so when we fail, we can go back and say, be patient with me. God's not done with me yet.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Lots of you hanging on. We'll go right to your calls on the other side of the break. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We had a dreadful economic month in October, and we have to rectify that situation as quickly as possible. In this month, the month of November. So if you can make a gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute right now, it would be strategic. Let us know on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
To make your Christmas journey more memorable this year, Hank has organized this 25-day odyssey around the acronym CHRISTMAS, or Christmas. It is our prayer that when you reach day 25 in your journey to the heart of Christmas, you and your family will have a renewed appreciation for salvation in Emmanuel, God with us. For your gift to the ministry of CRI, order a copy of The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, which includes an instrumental classic guitar Christmas and hymn CD by James Cobb. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff and scored with the same instrumental music. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to www.equip.org. Get your Christmas shopping done early this year and make a difference for time and eternity when you get package discounts of 6 or 12 gift books. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the teachings of self-help superstar Anthony Robbins. Does he promote personal power or harmful hedonism? Lee Strobel equips you to share your faith in natural settings in our effective evangelism column. And don't miss our feature article on the moral views of scientist and ardent atheist Richard Dawkins as the journal examines the question, can morality be based in our selfish evolutionary past? Also, don't miss a review of the influential internet movie Zeitgeist, our practical hermeneutics department, viewpoint articles, or our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. Bible Answer Man is here to stand for truth and help Christians understand and contend for the historic Christian faith. Many of our valued listeners and Christian leaders have encouraged us in our mission, like Jay Strack, founder of Student Leadership University.
I would be hard-pressed to say what area blesses me the most. Is it your radio program? Is it when I get to hear you in person? Is it when I pull down one of your magazines, The Journal, or whether I pull down one of your books? It's just every day it seems like you bless me and encourage me. And there are pastors all over the nation that I know feel that way. And Hank, I just admire your commitment, your integrity, your honesty to your family and to the things of God. You got to ask yourself the question, if you're going to make a gift to a ministry, does he live it? The answer is yes. If you're looking for a ministry, you can do something to make a difference, because truth matters. This is it.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to fulfill the unique and vital ministry that the Christian Research Institute does daily. So we're asking for your fervent prayers and financial participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute, or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowships, or the President's Council, contact us right now, toll-free, at 888-7000-274. Or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, receive Hank's Essential Christian Doctrine Flip Chart as our gift to you. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, I want to mention very quickly, before we go back to your questions, and I want to introduce someone to you as well in this segment in just a few moments, but I want to mention that for your gift to the ministry, as just mentioned, we'll send you the Doctrines Flip Chart, which not only gives you what you believe, but why you believe what you believe. For your gift of $100 or more to the ministry right now, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized for you or a family member or a pastor or a friend. And for your gift of $250 or more, the Legacy Study Bible, personalized. So if you can make a gift right now, we'll send you our thank you in that form. And remember, your gift keeps this ministry literally circling the globe. So please stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants, as always, at 888-7000 CRI. Joining me now on the phone, Alex McFarland. He is the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. He is an author, a radio host, an apologist extraordinaire, making a difference for time and for eternity. And I want to talk with Alex for just a few moments about the 2009 National Conference on Christian Apologetics. I mentioned this in the first segment, but we stand at a line of demarcation. Either our culture is going to continue in the direction that the culture is going, which is it is going in the very near future to look very much like Europe, or there's going to be a groundswell of change that you can really believe in. And I believe this 2009 National Conference on Christian Apologetics is a tool that the Holy Spirit can use to make a dynamic shift. And it is made when we start to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. And the operative word here is equip. We want to equip God's people. The reason people are not faithful witnesses oftentimes is not because they don't want to be, they simply don't know how to be. And this National Conference on Christian Apologetics is going to equip you and encourage you and exhort you to make a difference while there is yet time. Alex, This is going to be an incredible event.
Hank, it's such an honor to be on with you, and I appreciate the CRI support for this conference, but really it is so vital. I want to read, if I may, a testimony from last year. This is from a couple that came down to Charlotte from Connecticut last year. They said, Alex, the Apologetics Conference was spectacular. We need to stand firm against today's, quote, anything goes attitude. We can no longer remain silent, and the conference equipped us to respond to today's attitude of complete tolerance. Mm-hmm. And others, I could share, talk about people they brought who accepted Christ. But for the Christian that wants to know how to defend their faith, share the gospel in any context, or for the skeptic or the person with the doubts, the National Conference really is the place to come. And now it's only a week away.
November 13th through 14th, again in the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina. What can people do who want to participate at this point?
Well, the website, the best place to go, the shortest way is either through the website equip.org, your website. It's on the front page, equip.org, or the seminary website, ses.edu. It's November 13 and 14. We've got everybody from Chuck Colson, Oz Guinness, William Lane Craig, Dinesh D'Souza, Gary Habermas, you name it. But there are elective classes, all ages, for youth ministry, children, the pastorate, the local church, how to share Christ with an atheist, how to effectively reach out to a Muslim, militant gay activists, those caught up in false beliefs and aberrant religions. It's November 13 and 14. And then it concludes, the culmination is a debate between Dinesh D'Souza and Christopher Hitchens. And so, hey, you don't want to miss it. We also have an opportunity, Hank, for churches, maybe if it's not feasible to come to Charlotte, you can stream it live at your church. Your church can become a remote viewing site. And so the information for that is on the website, too, ses.edu.
Before I let you go, Alex, a quick appraisal of how significant this National Conference on Christian Apologetics is at this particular point in history.
Well, it really is significant, Hank. I was in New York City just about 4 weeks ago with a group of major Christian leaders, household names that every listener would know. And basically, we talked about the four challenges: the radical secularization of our culture, the growth of atheism, the breakdown of the family, aberrant lifestyles such as the gay marriage initiatives, and then the explosive growth of Islam. And really, folks, without a return to biblical literacy, sound doctrine, evangelistic urgency, if we don't have a return with every Christian being involved in proclaiming, explaining, even defending the faith, without a spirit-led, biblically informed turnaround, Hank, when you and I are old men, I really think that as Christianity Today wrote several years ago, all that was of our Christian culture will become a faint and mocking memory. Mm. We need a revival, and I believe that revival will be one of sound doctrine. And that's why we do this conference every year, to equip and inspire and really mobilize the body.
Never has the defense of the Christian faith been more significant than today. Again, the 2009 National Conference on Christian Apologetics. Thanks, Alex.
Hey, thanks.
Bless you, my brother. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Mark, listening on KARI, Vancouver, British Columbia. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. It's great to be on with you.
First of all,
I just wanted to quickly let you know that I support CRI Canada every chance I get.
Thank you.
You've been really inspirational for me to start memorizing Scripture, which I've been doing lately. So thank you for, I'm grateful that you encourage people to do that.
Well, thank you for the encouragement. Bless you.
My question is about the teachings of Bob George on his program, People to People. Are you familiar with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, his main teaching is that as Christians, we're not supposed to ask for forgiveness of our sins anymore because Christ paid the price for all of our sins on the cross, and to continue to confess and ask for forgiveness of our sins is not only unnecessary but insulting to God. And one of the scriptures that he often quotes is in 1 John 1:8-9, where You know, it says, if we claim to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. But he says there should be no period between those two verses, and that it should actually read, and the truth is not in us if we confess our sins. And it didn't sound right to me, so I thought I would, I'd like to get your opinion on that.
It's not only not right, it's absurd. And it's absurd because all you have to do is continue reading the context, not only the immediate context, but the broader context of Scripture. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, the next sentence starts out with an if. You know, you can't conjoin those sentences. It starts out with if. It is a contrast. So if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Conversely, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. To take the words of John, the beloved disciple, and distort them in the way that Bob George does and has continued to do for years when he knows better. I've spoken to him personally about this. Is simply unconscionable.
Well,
he is distorting the word of God. And let me make this very clear. Mm-hmm. What did Jesus tell us to do in the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, he told us to pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, he says that that's for a different dispensation and therefore no longer applies to us today. So
right.
The Lord's Prayer is, in Bob George's world, irrelevant for us today, which again I think is absolutely absurd. It is the template for prayer, not only in the time of Christ as he taught his disciples, but it is efficacious for us today. But even if you took his point of view, all you have to do is look at James 5, where James says, therefore, confess your sins. And confess there is a present active subjunctive, which is a grammatical construction that denotes continuing action. Keep on confessing. So we are justified by the finished work of Jesus Christ, but we are yet sinners, and therefore we are to keep short accounts with God. We are to confess our sins and ask him for forgiveness. If I told my wife, you know what? I told you I loved you when we got married. Don't ask me to say it again. And by the way, if I hurt your feelings, please know I already told you I love you. I'm not going to confess my sin against you. I'm not going to ask you for forgiveness. It wouldn't make for a very good relationship. And I think what is true on a human level is certainly true with respect to God. We need to confess our sins and ask him for forgiveness. Now, we can't fall overboard, but we do slip on board. And when we slip on board, we should ask the Lord's forgiveness for our sins.
I totally agree. One thing he says about James, though, that I didn't understand, he says that it actually says to confess our sins to each other, and he doesn't say anything about confessing your sins to God, which, again, I don't see what he's getting at, but could you comment on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this is a bifurcation which is gratuitous, which is to say, look at the entire context, and we recognize that our confession is not only to one and each other, but it is vicariously to God who oversees all things. It is a bifurcation that is completely unnatural, as unnatural as suggesting that there isn't a period after the first sentence starting with if and the second starting beginning with if. It's a completely unnatural interpretation of the scripture. You got it. Hey, thanks for your call. On the other side of the break, more of your questions. You can get your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. Talk about getting your blood pressure up. This kind of false teaching is very deflective to the cause of Christ.
Hank Hanegraaff, Chuck Colson, and William Lane Craig headline a host of the nation's top speakers and leaders at the National Conference on Christian Apologetics in Charlotte, North Carolina, November 13th and 14th. Thousands gather from around the nation and world to learn how to defend their faith and equip their congregations. The conference also includes a debate between Dinesh D'Souza and the atheist Christopher Hitchens and a special youth apologetics tract too. For more details, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will return with more of the program right after this.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist.
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions in The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Captures the love, joy, and incredible drama of the birth of our King Jesus and its reality for our lives in The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. We are encouraged by those who have already used The Heart of Christmas last year and the impact it had on their friends and family, like women's Bible teacher Kathy Taylor.
Last year, you were kind enough to send me the first edition of this book. I gave one of them to my mom and dad, who were agnostic at best. My mom sat and read one day at a time for many days through Christmas time. I have been praying for my mom, Hank, for 33 years to come to Christ. And I think it was 6 weeks after Christmas, she finally gave her heart to Jesus.
Experience the heart of Christmas like never before and make it a tradition in your home and a movement throughout our nation. To sample the heart of Christmas, go to www.equip.org/heart of Christmas and listen to classical solo guitar instrumentals from James Cobb that accompany each devotional. Hear Hank deliver dramatic readings from the audiobook or watch Hank passionately communicate a portion of the heart of Christmas on video. You can also post your meaningful stories, testimonies, and pictures about Christmas on our website or on our Bible Answer Man Facebook page. Order the Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Especially inquire about quantity discount 6 or 12 packs to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends or the personalized edition. And while you can get your Christmas shopping done early this year, you're giving a gift that will last for time and eternity. And now here is Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And do remember The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, also available as an audiobook on two CDs. For your gift to the ministry right now, I'll send it out to you. You can start listening to it today, and I think you will be enthused and encouraged to get The Heart of Christmas, not just for yourself, but also for your family members and friends. It makes a terrific gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving because as you order, all the proceeds go to forward the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But you got to hear it to believe it. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, audiobook on two CDs. It's available right now. Call us or write us. We'll get it out to you as ASAP, and hopefully it'll become the impetus for a movement, because once you hear it, you'll recognize that just as we are to prepare our home for Christmas, as we do each year, we are to prepare our heart for Christmas, as we so often fail to do. Again, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Get the audiobook as well. It's on two CDs. Start listening to it. Be enthused. Start to dream of the possibilities, how this product can be used to change lives for time and for eternity starting this Christmas season. Again, you can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me a post office box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to Resource Consultants at 888-7000. CRI. Back to the phone lines, Rachel in Billings, Montana. Hi, Rachel.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Good talking to you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have a question that I kind of internally struggle with, mainly through the month of October, but off and on all the time. I have a question about movies, what we should and should not watch as Christians. And I have always loved kind of the world of fantasy. And I have a question about movies like Twilight, Aragon, Harry Potter, Hocus Pocus, and Halloween Town, and all those kinds of movies that a lot of them come out at Halloween Town or Halloween time. And as Christians, where do we draw the line? I don't let my kids watch that kind of stuff because I realize they can't distinguish between fantasy and reality. But for myself, I'm wondering some biblical insight on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's as much distinguishing between fantasy and reality. Mm-hmm. I think it's the difference between good fantasy and bad fantasy. Mm-hmm. If you look at Lord of the Rings as an example, or the Chronicles of Narnia, you have mm-hmm. good fantasy. In some of the examples that you gave, you had bad fantasy. Fantasy examples in which you end up rooting for evil, and I think that's the real line of demarcation. So yeah, I mean, some of even what I consider bad fantasy, I've allowed my kids to watch, with the proviso that we discuss these things together, and as a result, they've learned to distinguish between what's really good and edifying and what can be downright dangerous.
Right. Right.
But I don't think we have to necessarily, Rachel, live in fear or superstition that if we let them watch this kind of thing, immediately they're going to be overwhelmed by the power of darkness or something like that. Because if you look at the full armor of God, and I wrote about this in a book called The Covering, What does it start out with? It starts out with Paul's admonition, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So the danger is that we fail to recognize the power of God to sustain us, and we exaggerate the power of Satan to pillage us. If we learn to put on the full armor of God, as we should teach our children to do from a very early age, then we're invincible in spiritual warfare. If we do not, we're guaranteed casualties.
Okay, so do you believe that by watching, you know, certain types of movies in your home, do you believe that maybe you can invite some kind of a demonic presence into your home, even if you are a Christian? Like, my little girl wakes up in the middle of the night and has a lot of fear. And I've always worried that I, by watching, maybe some things have caused any of that. What do you think about that?
Well, again, not in a superstitious sense, but sure. I mean, if you watch violent movies or movies that Rosemary's Baby. I mean, a lot of these kinds of movies can instill fear in a child, and we need to be very judicious in seeing what goes in through the eye gate of a child. We need to be.
Yeah. Now, she's not watching any of this stuff. I would never watch anything like that in front of her, allow her to see any of that kind of stuff. It just makes me wonder if by watching it myself, my kids don't see it, but by watching it myself, if I'm inviting any of that kind of stuff into my home.
No, I don't think that there's a demon attached to the packaging.
I had Christians tell me that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's superstition. Unfortunately, it flies in the face of what Paul teaches in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Again, I've written a book on this that would be very helpful to you. It's called The Covering.
The Covering, okay.
Yeah. I think it'd be really helpful for you to read that book. There's an audiobook version of it as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joy. She's listening on the web in Woodbridge, Virginia. Hi, Joy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. It is so wonderful to actually speak with you. I am a first-time caller. I have been listening to you for quite some time now.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Well, my question is, I wanted to find out if you were familiar with a ministry by the name of Charles Katz. He is the minister over a ministry of the name of Charles Katz. I wanted to find out if you did know of this particular ministry, what did you think of Mr. Katz?
Well, he's a false teacher. He's a heretic. He's someone to watch out for. He teaches word of faith theology. And, you know, sometimes when you listen to him, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. He is that outrageous. Here's an example.
Why did Jesus then on the cross say, "My God"? Because God was not his father anymore. He took upon himself the nature of Satan.
He starts out in this message, and I've listened to this in context. He starts out with the presupposition that Jesus Christ on the cross became a satanic being and therefore had to be born again in hell. I wrote about this in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. He's in the cast of characters that are distorting the very centrality of the atonement of Jesus Christ upon the cross.
Oh, I see. Well, I had never heard of him, and I was listening to a radio broadcast that I typically don't listen to, and there he was. And some of what he was speaking of was basically he was saying that we as Christians do not utilize our angels, and he began to go on talking of that, and I was like, is that really so? So I wanted to contact you and ask you, what did you think of him, or did you know of Charles Katz
Man, yeah, I do, and he's in the cast of characters in my book, Christianity in Crisis, which I highly recommend to you, because it helps you not only understand where the error is, but where the truth is, so that you can come to a true valuation of things when it comes to biblical faith. In the world of Charles Capps, faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. In biblical theology, faith is a channel of living trust between a person and their God, and faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if it's faith in your own faith, it's credulity. If it's faith in God, it's well placed.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thank you, Anne. Is there time for me to ask you one other question?
Yeah, quickly.
Ms. Sanagraph, I have been struggling with something that my pastor had said over this last coming Sunday. And he spoke of that he's often confronted with, why doesn't he pray, why doesn't he ask for the prayer of salvation? And he alluded to saying that he does not ask for the prayer of salvation because he feels that if you have not come with a repentance and confessing heart, what is the use of the prayer of salvation?
Yeah, well, and I think that's essentially right. I mean, you have to realize that you're a sinner before you can be in a position to recognize you need salvation. So I say you have to be willing to recognize that you're a sinner, willing to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. But it starts with a recognition that we are sinners, that we do not have the ability to live a life acceptable to God. And then we need to be willing to turn from sin and embrace Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life that we could never live and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift.
Well, thank you very much for answering my questions, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you for calling Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Please give us a call. If you don't have a copy, it is a must read. My latest book, you can order it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000, see, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we will continue taking your calls. A lot of people hanging on already. If you want to get your question answered in the next hour, here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we simply cannot stay on the air. That has been the woeful condition in some markets around the country. We don't want it to happen to the market in which you're listening to my voice right now. So support us prayerfully and financially. God bless you. See you next time with more.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible. Hank has meticulously crafted this study Bible to help give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from him on the Bible Answer Man. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines and charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more. Order your copy today. Call 888-7000-CRI. Look for it online at equip.org. That's EQUIP.ORG. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.